We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Even with, you know, some of the uncertainties caused by where the pandemic is and some of the news we're all hearing, we are seeing that shoppers, back to school shoppers and back to college shoppers, are really excited about the season.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, I'm handing the microphone over to my friend and colleague, Jen Overstreet. Take it away, Jen.
For today's episode, we're talking about back to school with NRF's Head of Consumer Research, Catherine Cullen. And with me today to explore this topic is a mom also sending her child back to school, Chris Stewart. Chris, welcome.
Thanks. I'm super excited. Back to school.
Me too. Woo! Yeah, I love back to school season. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back on. It's always great to chat with you guys. And I don't know about you, but I can't believe it's August. And some kids are already started school. Oh, yes, I know. I know. People with kids, I think they're definitely aware. My kids aren't old enough, but
it's a weird, it's like definitely a weird mix of emotions though for back to school this year, for sure, with everything happening in the world. But Catherine, you've been out there in the world talking a lot about back to school. So we wanted to get you on our program, and I have tasked you with three things. I've asked you to give us three things that we must know about back to school shopping. So tell me what you came up with, Catherine.
All righty. Well, as you know, Jen, we did release some data in July. And so it gives us a full picture between that and some of our recent data in August of what's really going on with the back to school season and how it's changed even in the last month. So the first thing I wanted to highlight was how much people are spending. And we shared this data a few weeks ago, but we are seeing that parents are expecting to spend record amounts on back to school and back to college. For back to school families, it's around $850 on average, which is $60 more than they expected to spend last year. And for college students and families, it's around $1,200 or about $140 than they plan to spend last year. And what really stood out to me with that is it's because people are expecting classes to take place in person. And so they're buying clothes, they're buying school supplies. And despite all the virtual learning, they still are buying electronics. We're seeing record spending on electronics too. So those numbers, I know they're big numbers, especially when you look at the billion-dollar values, but they really stood out to me in terms of, you know, what sort of setting the stage for back to school spending this year and where families are in terms of how they're approaching it. So that was number one.
It's so interesting because I was just thinking, okay, so what is the reason for this? Is it the pent up demand where, like, you know, people get excited about back to school season, and last year it wasn't a traditional back to school season. So, and maybe they didn't buy things. They didn't get new clothes last year. They didn't get, you know, whatever. They got new slippers, maybe. And so, you know, is it that, like, a little bit of the combination of both?
It's a little bit of a combination, you know, not just, you know, footwear, like you mentioned, but if kids wear uniforms, they didn't need those last year, backpacks, lunch boxes, you know, families were still spending on back to school last year, but they didn't need the same items or even the same amounts. One of the things that really stood out to me actually was the number of families who are buying calculators, because if kids were, I guess, were learning on laptops or learning on their tablets, maybe they didn't need a traditional, you know, calculator for some of their classes. But now that's required by the classroom. And so that was a big item, a big electronics item families were buying this year over last year. So that one really stood out to me. It was a little unexpected. And also smartphones. If your kid was at home with you, maybe you held off on getting them their first cell phone. I've seen you raise your hand.
That was me.
So maybe this year, you know, you kind of figure it's time and you're, you know, looking to buy that item. We're also in a situation, I think a lot of schools are still anticipating opening in person, but I think families may say, you know, we need an extra laptop just in case things are virtual or in part virtual this fall. And so those kinds of purchases are also fueling it. But yeah, so that's the big spend number. And that's the one I like to talk about first as kind of a must know for the season. But the second is kind of where people are at this point. Because obviously back to school shopping is a long season. It's almost as long as holiday, though some people start shopping for holiday on New Year's Day. So for some people, it's a year-long endeavor. But when we surveyed consumers in July, they weren't very far in their shopping. They were only about 18% done. Even though we had some big sale events at the end of June, families did seem to be kind of holding off a little and waiting for July to start a lot of their shopping. Fast forward to August, and they're much further along. At this point, shoppers are about halfway done with their shopping, which is really where they are in a typical year. Last year was, of course, different. People held off a little longer. But this year, it looks like people are following the same sort of cadence that they would in a non-pandemic year. And they're, you know, looking to buy things like they've made most of their electronics purchases. The items that are left are clothes and school supplies and all those kinds of purchases. People have made a lot of progress, but there's still a good amount left to do for those who still have a couple of weeks before school starts.
My oldest daughter is starting kindergarten this year, and it's like a whole new, it's like the back to school fun, right? And I remember like the fun of shopping for back to school. And the school did this, like they partner with something, I think it's called EduKit, and they partner with this business that lets the teacher select everything. And then that they put the box and it's like right there and they're on their desk when they arrive. And of course I like missed the deadline because that's the kind of mom I am. I missed the deadline for the EduKit. But I wasn't too disappointed about that because now I get to do the shopping. And so I'm wondering if some of that, you know, you're talking about the pent up demand. I'm wondering if some of that is just the desire to go back to normal, to do something familiar and fun and, you know, go shopping for those pencils and the markers and do all that stuff and, you know, kind of get that excitement up right before school starts.
I think that's definitely playing out, you know, even with, you know, some of the uncertainties caused by where the pandemic is and some of the news we're all hearing. We are seeing that shoppers, back to school shoppers and back to college shoppers are really excited about the season. You know, for a lot of folks last year, they weren't shopping in store as much. They weren't heading out to pick out that backpack or that lunchbox. And what we've heard from families is that their kids are really excited to buy some of these items this year. You know, maybe it's a first for kids being excited for the start of school, but they're particularly excited about clothes and school supplies, those things that feel very personal to them, that they can go out and, you know, pick out with mom and dad or, you know, with their parent figures. And that actually kind of leads me sort of the third point I wanted to highlight, which is where people are planning to do the rest of their shopping. We know, of course, that online and digital ways of shopping have grown, though all evidence is that when consumers feel safe, they do head back to the store. And what we're seeing for back to school is actually, you know, people are heading back to department stores. They're looking at discount stores. They're going to clothing stores and even office supply stores, you know, kind of those traditional destinations for back to school. It's all part of the tradition and the experience, which is one component of it. Some of the others that what I've heard from parents is that it can be easier if you're buying your kid a backpack or buying them shoes. Sometimes it's easier just take them to the store and let them pick out from the items on the shelf or try on the shoes right there rather than having to order multiple items and deal with returns and all of that. So there are a couple of factors at play, but we are really seeing an interest in some of those traditional back to school experiences and shopping traditions.
Catherine, are consumers finding what they want on shelves? I mean, are those supply chain issues that we're hearing about, is that affecting back to school?
That's a great question, Chris. So we are seeing that about a third of shoppers well, most shoppers, about two-thirds, haven't had any issues. Okay. But there is about a third who say they've had some trouble finding items. It tends to be some of those school supplies and some clothing items. But those are items, those are things that they can kind of continue to shop for, you know, through the rest of the month. You know, we are hearing from retailers that they did move up their timelines for back to school items to ensure things were in stock. What we are hearing or expecting is that, you know, families might need to plan for a little extra time for some things to get to them. You may have to explore a few additional stores or shop around a little bit. And similar to last year, we're encouraging people just to use all the tools available to them, whether it's checking an app to see if something's actually in stock in your local store, or you should order it online or check out a different location, you know, kind of using those tools so that you don't make a big trip with your kid and stand in front of a shelf and have trouble finding, you know, the specific color, specific item that they're looking for. One thing we aren't necessarily seeing it affect, you know, just a single product or single brand. Back to school, you need all kinds of things. And, you know, when some of those items are held up because of congestion at the ports, it's not necessarily affecting, you know, electronics over electronics was a bad example. I think electronics are specifically being affected, but you know, it's not necessarily affecting all crayons in the same way or all backpacks in the same way. So we aren't hearing that it's sort of a single item people are having trouble finding, or that it's, you know, widespread, but there are some folks who are having to shop around a little more.
Are consumers sticking to these buying habits they picked up during the pandemic? Like, are they still looking at that buy online, pick up in store and curbside pickup and all that?
Yes, we are certainly seeing that will continue. And we've seen that not just in our consumer research on back to school, but also some other studies we released this summer, just seeing sort of the growth of buy online, pick up in store, the growth of curbside. Mobile or contactless payment has been a big one that people have really, really liked, as well as, you know, things like even shopping through social media and you know, utilizing, even if you do head to the store, maybe turning online a little bit more for some of those additional research steps. You know, maybe you have your child look at a bunch of backpacks online, figure out which character they're interested in, which color, and then you head to the store to go pick it up together or something like that. So we are seeing consumers embrace all these different tools. The thing that does really stand out to us though is, and this is carried out in census data on retail sales as well, is that, you know, it's not like online is taking over everything. You know, as we've been saying at NRF for a while, consumers want choice. And it turns out that when they have the choice, they like to shop both online and in store and use buy online, pick up in store, curbside, and shop through their phone. We really want all the things. And we don't want to be forced to just have to shop in one channel or in one way. So that, I think, has become really clear. And I think the narrative about online is changing in a healthy way.
Has NRF looked at all, are consumers still interested in shopping at small businesses and local businesses for their back to school needs?
We have seen throughout the pandemic, you know, that there has been a greater interest in kind of local and community. We haven't seen it, you know, necessarily pop during the pandemic or during back to school. But we do know that consumers have just felt a little more connected to their local and small businesses. And I think are considering them as an option, as a potential destination, maybe even more than they did before. You know, I do think because this is a pandemic that's had a community impact, people are more aware of who's in their community and the local businesses that, you know, have stayed open or served them or innovated during this time. And I think that's another thing to really pay attention to is that a lot of small and local businesses have rolled out, you know, things like contactless payment or curbside, and they're able to serve customers, you know, for seasons like back to school or the holidays in ways that they may not have before the pandemic.
Catherine, so we've been talking a lot about when I think of back to school, I think about like elementary age. And I think that's just because that's where the nostalgia is for me. But the real event in terms of spend is the college, right? Back to college. So I was wondering if anything, if you had any like favorite piece of data, you know, as you're going through it, there's something that maybe got you a little excited or piqued your interest in terms of back to college?
Yes. No, back to college spending is, you know, expected to reach over $71 billion this year, which is, you know, more than twice as much as back to school. So it is a big chunk of spending. I think one of the things that really is, this is nerdy, but you asked me what excited me from the data, Jen. So I was really interested in the increase in spending on dorm furnishings, because if you think about it, last year, a lot of freshmen probably couldn't move to their campus in the fall. And so they weren't buying bedding. I don't know if colleges still use those extra long bed sheets that are the bane of every parent's existence, but they probably didn't have to buy those. So you have freshmen or students who were freshmen last year probably outfitting their dorm or off-campus housing, as well as kids heading off to school for the first time this year as well. So I thought that was, it really stood out to me as kind of a fun tradition for people, as well as, you know, something where we probably did have some pent-up demand for folks who maybe weren't moving onto campus or out of their parents' home last year. So we may also have some parents who might be celebrating a little that their kids are
have to look at home improvement
at college and out of the house.
But look at home improvement sales in the fall.
And I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, but the spending on kind of decorating your dorm room has really, I think, taken off. There, it can be very artistic and very, a lot of focus on the Instagrammable aspect of your dorm room. So it makes me really glad this was not a thing, because my dorm room was not at all fit for social media.
I just started rewatching the TV show A Different World. You remember with Lisa Bonet? Yeah. It was the spinoff of the Cosby Show. But anyway, but like, you know, they live in this dorm and it's so hodgepodge and just kind of stuff thrown together. And I was like, that's what a dorm looks like. But now I just see all these things on Instagram and like, you know, these retailers are having these like great little, and I'm like, oh God, that's not at all what my dorm looked like.
Yeah. And through like AR and tools like that, you can actually kind of, you know, position things virtually before you buy them. It's really interesting, and I think probably very fun. I'm sure there's some kids out there who still have a hodgepodge of a campus room.
Plenty. I hope so. Well, some of them still have the cinder block walls, right? That you can't do a whole lot with. So let's.
Sticky tape.
But apparently, you know, there's also tutorials on sort of the temporary wallpaper you can put up. I mean, there's a lot that...
there's a lot to distract you from the actual business of learning in college. Yeah.
You sound like a mom, Jen.
Well, these things happen if you get older. Okay, so speaking of decorating your dorm room, and heading back to college or back to school, instead of rapid fire today, since we've all been on the show multiple times and Catherine's answered lots of rapid fire, why don't we do a little round the room and everybody can share their favorite back to school memory. Chris, sure. Do you want to start?
Sure.
What is your favorite back to school memory?
It is the summer before, I think, seventh grade. So that was the beginning of my junior high school career. I babysat that summer, and so I could buy my own back-to-school clothes. And I very happily went into whatever store it was in the mall, and I got these really sweet stonewashed jeans. They maybe had like some fancy button work, and then I also got a little crop stonewashed jean jacket like Debbie Gibson had. It was beautiful. I was rocking it on the first day of school, and I bought it with my own money.
That's amazing. That's a great memory. Catherine, do you have one?
I don't have a single one. I just remember every year I would get so excited about my new pencils and pens. And I think I'm still that person who gets very excited about the new pen and likes their desk to have very specific office supplies. So I was that kid who just loved going to Staples or Office Max and just wandering around and looking at all the different types of gel pens. And I remember distinctly when my parents let me upgrade to the mechanical pencils what a big step that was. So yeah, I think maybe mechanical pencils might have been my favorite back to school memory. I was not as cool as Chris Stewart. I think we knew that, but these stories definitely
in seventh grade, I was not cool.
Even with the Debbie Gibson jacket?
I know, weirdly enough. It was my first concert too. See, I'm so cool.
All right. Well, I think my favorite, lots of people probably have very vivid memories of move-in day in college. And I went to the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas. And if anyone's ever been to Kansas in August, they know that it is quite humid and hot. Also, the place where I moved into, Watkins Scholarship Hall, did not have air conditioning that year. So I have very, very vivid memories of what move-in day was like, and like the sweat just like dripping down you and carrying boxes of stuff in laundry baskets from the car and, you know, saying goodbye to your parents and all of those. Like, I think at the time there was that feeling of excitement, but also just of the misery. But I think that like shared misery really brought people together in the dorm. And I really miss that, like in general adult life, just having the shared experience of like living in the same place and just walking down the hall and meeting someone for the first time and leaving your door open. So I think of that very fondly when I think about back to school and back to college and how hot and terrible and wonderful it all was at the same time.
That's excellent.
Catherine, thank you for joining us to talk about back to school. We know you've been talking a lot about this recently and various different programs and to the media. And so thank you for spending time with us today to talk about it. We enjoy this topic very much and like to see how people are changing their behaviors around back to school. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. It's always great to talk to you guys.
And Chris, thanks for joining us too.
Anytime.
All right. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks all for listening and happy back to school.